have your goodness to hang on to and your goodness to give us hope for tomorrow. And God, I pray that in the section of that song where we are willing to give up and surrender everything to you, Father, I pray we do that every day. I pray we continue to surrender our lives and allow you to be a part of them more so than maybe the day before. God, we just praise you and we thank you for all you take care of us and how you bless us every day. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I'd appreciate that. And some of you may not know, I know I greatly appreciate the efforts that the tech team has been putting in to make those PowerPoints happen today. That's a whole new program that I think it's a lot better to read them, to see them, and to sing with them. So appreciate the efforts they put into having that done for us tonight. You know, one of the things that we talked about this morning, obviously, is how important our testimony is and how our testimony does nothing more than introduce people to Christ. And people may not, or people won't accept Christ because of your testimony, but they'll accept Christ because they'll go to Christ and they'll read the verses, they'll understand, and they'll be saved. And so I think it's a very important aspect of our lives. I think our testimonies are something that need to be honed and sharpened and just clarified in our lives. But what amazes me is that, you know, the older, no, let me take that back. The more mature we get in our life, we need to make sure that our spiritual life gets as mature. And there are different things that happen to us. There's different seasons of our life. We do the same things, but take longer to do them. You know, and even some of those things we can't even do anymore. And so, you know, the same testimony is true about the goodness of God, about how he blesses us, by the way we are able to give what we have and to continue to just thank God for the abilities he gives us. Because we may not be as sharp in those abilities as we once were, but we still are able to do things. And we as long as you have a breath, and as long as you have a heartbeat, you are have ability and gifts from God to be able to use them in a way that teaches his word or to share your testimony to people around you. And we should never stop. No matter how old we become, we should never stop wanting to share our testimony, whether it be through the workplace or whether it be through neighbors. You may have a different circle of friends now. Maybe you're out of the workforce and you got different people you associate with. But obviously into the church realm, into the place of opportunity. I don't know if you've noticed recently, but that we've had a lot of new people coming in. And some of those people I know are not saved. And so we have an opportunity even within our own church to share our testimony on how we respond to them, how we greet them, how we welcome them, how we teach their kids, you know, how we look at them and just basically say, you matter. And so from inside here to the outside everywhere, we have a testimony to share. But remember last week or the week before, how big is your butt? You know, when Peter fell away because he's fear. Then we looked in the Sunday evening, we looked at David. David's Goliath in his life was his fear. It wasn't the physical Goliath because he stood at him. He ran in fear. Well, one of the things that goes hand in hand with our testimonies is our excuses. Y'all saying, oh boy, here we go. Yep, here we go. Our excuses. We all have them. We all give them. And even justify it by saying it's a reason. Now, I don't know if there's a difference between excuse and reason. I think reason is just a gift-wrapped excuse because it may sound a little better. But we have excuses, don't we? How does God deal with our excuses? I'll jump back into Exodus chapter 4. We're going to see how God dealt with Moses' excuses. And again, that burning bush was quite divine here tonight as we started because that's the point we find him at. He meets Christ at the burning bush, meets God at the burning bush, and God sort of told him he was going to go do something. He was going to work with him. He was going to want him to go to Egypt to free his people because the Pharaoh would not release them. And so we understand that. We know the story. Very familiar story with most people about Moses and the burning bush and what God asked him to do. But what we want to look at is basically we need to realize that our excuses do not work with God. I don't care what they are. They do not work with God. We can lay down every reason, every excuse in the book why we can't do something, but they don't work with God. Because our excuses, if they overpower what God is asking us to do, then our excuses become greater than our God. Do you think God's capable of helping you do whatever he asks you to do? Always has been in my life. He's always given me the strength to do or the wisdom to do or whatever he's asked me to do. I've always had the ability to do it, even if I didn't know before. God just gives the ability. He calls, and then he qualifies. So we have no reason. We have no excuse that will work with God. And there's only one that I could come up with, and that is when you die. There's a reason why you can't come to church next Sunday, because you're dead. That's the only reason. That's the only thing that I think God would ever accept. So we're going to look into see what Moses, because we know Moses gave the excuses, right? Well, let's look into them. Because the bottom line is, when God says to Moses, you know, tell him the I am sent you, well, who is the I am? Who am I? Instead of saying, who am I, it's more who I am. Okay, God is, who am I? Tell them the, who am I? Tell them the I sent you. Moses couldn't comprehend the who I am, because he was so worried about, who am I? You see, when you serve a God that says the I am, and you're more worried about who I am, you come up with all kind of excuses why you can't do stuff for God. Come up with all kind of reasons. Come up with all kind of what we think are very good, viable reasons. And God says, I want none of them. And we're going to realize that when we stand before him, because I don't even know if we can even utter a word when we stand before him. Because we're not going to be able to give them the reasons. We're not going to be able to give them all the issues and the things that we are going on in our lives that are causing us all these reasons why. So let's look into Moses a little bit, because it's interesting. When we look down in chapter 4, I think I said chapter 3, I'm sorry, chapter 4, when God gives power to Moses, it says in verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God, our fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into the bosom. And he put it in the hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, the hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand back into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into the bosom again, and plucked it out in the bosom. And behold, it was turned again into the other flesh. And it shall become to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice at first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river, it shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto since, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath made the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom will send, or who will send. Basically what he's saying is, anybody but me. So I want to pause there, because the next phrase in 14 says, and the anger of the Lord. You don't want to go there. I've written right in my Bible, don't go there. You need to figure it out before verse 14. Because once you anger the Lord, that's not good. He, like I said this morning, he is our best friend. He got my back. He'll lift you, he'll carry you, he'll move you through many things. But he's also don't want to anger the Lord. So let's look at the verses. Because what we find here is quite interesting. When Moses repeated and said in verse 1, but behold, they will not believe me, nor listen to me, for they will say, the Lord had not appeared to you. Basically, he was focusing on, who am I?
Moses is saying, who am I? They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to hear my, they're not going to listen to anything I say. So we find his first excuse, basically, who am I? Instead of going in the name of the I am, he's more focused on who he was. He began to say, they won't believe me. They won't hearken unto me. They won't listen. So now God gives us about three or four things there that he is going to do for Moses or with Moses. But first of all, you see the stages of Moses' life. The first stage that we find in Moses' life is his lack of assurance. You see, that's what causes excuses, lack of assurance. When we have a lack of assurance in going and doing things, we begin to think of these excuses, but they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to do what I ask. And so Moses had a very lack of assurance, but that's what verses 2 and following, 1 through 8, basically, God was saying, okay, Moses, I understand your lack of assurance, and I understand you think they won't listen to you. But then he says in verse 2, and the Lord said, what's in thy hand? And he said, a rod. See, the most important thing you got to realize is when we lack in assurance, God says, I'm going to use whatever you have. I'm not asking you to go to Bible college so that you can memorize the scriptures, so that you can answer every question that comes your way. I'm going to place you in the ministry. I'm going to put you somewhere where you're going to be able to use what you have. Because all Moses had was a rod. Where was he? He was in the desert. What was he doing? Tended the sheep. And he walks by the burning bush, and that's not a new thing. I'm sure he saw many bushes burning. But this one wasn't consumed. And so the only thing Moses had was a rod. So what did God say? What's in your hand? What do you have? Cast it down, pick it back up. And it says in the end of, or the beginning of verse 4, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it up by the tail, and put forth thy hand. He caught it, and it became a rod again, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Moses, I'm going to use what you have to prove to them that you and I are on the same team, that I sent you. So my question is, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have ability to do? What has God gifted you to do? What has God allowed you to do? God says, I just want to use that. See, God doesn't want all the things we have to be used because we think we need a whole toolbox worth of stuff. God says, whatever you have, I'll make it work. It's kind of nice because then the glory goes to God, right? All the glory goes to God. And I think that's what we see through Moses, and we see through him understanding. God is saying, listen, okay, if you have a lack of assurance in yourself that they're not going to listen to you, all I need to use is the rod in your hand. I just need to use what you have. So you may not think you have the great abilities. You may think you not have the teaching skills or whatever it is, the ability to make it work and to be effective. You know, the greatest excuse that we're not good enough comes from a mindset of pleasing man, not God. You want to go please God, you just go give him what you have. You just be faithful with what you have. And if you please God, you know what? Who cares what other people think? It doesn't matter what they think. You give your talents, you give your time, you give everything to God, and he is going to multiply that into places and into area that he wants you to be. For Moses, it was go in front of Pharaoh. But they won't listen. They won't believe me. The people, they're not going to. All I need is your rod. Okay, so the first thing we find is his lack of assurance God took care of because the rod in his hand, God will just simply use it. Now, the other thing that we find in Moses' lack of faith or assurance, he said again, he put his hand in his bosom, again, pulled out the leprosy. And so when you look at what God did, God said, listen, you put your hand in, it comes out all leprosy. You put it in again, it comes out all clean. I, God speaking, I can restore the unrestorable. And Moses, what part did you have in it? What, your lack of assurance, what part did you have in putting your hand in and pulling it out and it come in leprosy and then come out clean? That was all me. I can restore the unrestorable. And I'm grateful for that because you know why? When you and I give what talent we have and we go and we give the ability we have and we go in front of a group of people and we do our best and we fumble through things and I can remember my first message I ever preached. I thought it was going to be an hour and it ended up being 15 minutes. You know, you give them all that you got. And you, by the way, that'll never happen again. Just saying. That's in the beginning stages. But you know, when you just give them everything, you know what God does with that? God takes, when we are at our weakness, isn't he stronger in our life? If we think we have to have all the talent and we have to have all the answers and we have to have our ducks in a row and we have to have all the schedule lined up and we have to have all the time lined up and we got to have everything just perfect and then maybe I will. God's saying, you know what, I don't want to use you. You just keep doing what you do. Because you're going in your own strength. You're waiting for your own deal. God says, all I want is somebody who is faithful to go when I ask to go. Faithful to jump in when I need them, that somebody to jump in. I will use what you have in your hand. I'm the one that's going to restore the people. Moses, you go. I'll make sure they listen. God has a way of convincing us, doesn't he? God has a way of changing our mind, changing our hearts. And you know, it just baffles me that man thinks they have so much control of their life. And that man thinks they have so much say because we've got a free will and we got decisions. And God can maneuver all of that. He has all through history, hasn't he? He's telling Moses, listen, I'll restore what you think is unrestorable. I'll get them to understand that you're my man. You just need to go. Well, that one didn't work either. That was still a little bit of a lack of insurance. And then the third one, he puts the concept on verse 9, and I shall come to pass, they shall come to pass if they will believe not, or not believe also the two signs, that was the rod and the hand, then he's going to take some water out of the river. Now, to the Egyptians, how important was the river? It was their life. It was everything. It was absolutely everything that they did. Their economics, it was their dream, it was everything to them. And God said, if they won't listen to you by the rod, they won't listen to you by restoration, by the hand concept, then we're going to take away everything. And Moses, you just need to go. You go, you take the water out, and you pour it. I just need somebody physically at the side of the river to take a pitcher of water, get the water out of the river, and pour it on the ground. Moses, that's all you got to do. Now, I think any of us could do that, right? Anybody go to the river edge and sort of dump in, get a thing of water and walk over and dump it on the ground? God says, Moses, that's all you need to do. I will do the rest. That's what God thinks about our excuses. Excuses don't work with God. You can have all the lack of assurance you want. You can have all the lack of, I just can't. God says, why? Well, who am I? Are you worried about the who am I more so than the I am? And that's the question. That's when you have a list of excuses, that's the question. So when we see this, again, his assurance was the first one. But the one thing we find also, he comes down into verse 10. And of course, after God gave him these three things, he says in verse 10, Moses said, oh my Lord. And it's almost like you can just see Moses, you know, thinking of a way out of this because he really doesn't want to do this. You know, he gave his ability, lack of assurance. Now it's his ability. In verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, oh Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so, lack of ability. How? It doesn't surprise God that Moses spoke like that, did it? I mean, there was no way that God was surprised about anything in Moses' character and Moses' ability. He wasn't after the ability. He wasn't after the eloquent speech. He was after the faithful body, the faithful person who would just do it. And so, interesting enough, when we see him bring this lack of ability, God sort of answers him in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Basically, God told Moses, so who made you speak that way? It was me. Who allowed you? It was me. Do you think I can't still use you? You see, and again, the excuse turned into a lack of assurance. Then it went into a lack of an ability. But I don't have the ability. They're not going to, how can I go into the Pharaoh and begin to speak when I can't speak? It's in, I think, well, most, yeah, we're all the age that we know Mel Tillis, right? You know that singer, Mel Tillis? He stuttered until he started singing, and you would never known. He just sang like he never stuttered. And I can picture God telling Moses, just go speak and you'll be surprised. Just go speak and you'll see what I can do through you. I think if Moses would not have had so many excuses and he would have went in faithfulness to God, he would have been a Mel Tillis. I think in front of Pharaoh, he would have spoke eloquently. He would have spoke right out there. It was interesting, a few weeks ago, somebody had mentioned to me, and whoever, it doesn't matter, but they were very impressed that I went through a whole sermon with no grammatical errors in my language. I was so impressed. 30 years I tried that. Finally got one in. I am not an eloquent speaker. I just get it out there, man. But it was interesting. I took it as a compliment. It was great. But what I'm saying, God doesn't really, I won't say he doesn't care. He's not as concerned. What he's concerned about, are you faithful just to stand and do it? Do you want to just serve me? Moses, I'm calling you. Moses, I need you. But I can't, Lord. I don't have the, not me. They're not going to listen. God, I can't. I don't have the ability. I can't speak it. I don't know it. I can't talk right. So again, he gives his lack of ability. God's answer is, who designed you? Who created you? God said, I did. I created you. I designed you. And it's interesting because when he begins to show him about verse 11, when God answers him, he says again in verse 12, now therefore go. He gave Moses another chance. And listen, God will give us opportunity to say okay, right? He gave him another chance. After Moses said, listen, I have no insurance to do this. They're not going to listen. I have no ability to do this because I'm not eloquent. And God says, I designed, now go. And boy, you and I would have said, okay, Lord, here am I, send me, right? Well, Moses didn't, and we may not have either. Because you got to understand what he was being asked to do. Remember why he was in the desert? Remember, he killed somebody. They probably wouldn't have forgot that. And there was how many Israelites in captivity? A couple million. You want me to go lead them all out? Like, they're all going to follow me, right? He wasn't asked to do a very small task. It's a pretty phenomenal task. But God was trying to show him, with me, I just need you. God's not saying, listen, I'm going to send you because I know you got this and I'm going to sit back and wait and see how you do. God says, Moses, I need you because I want to work through you. And he says the same thing to every one of us. I need you because I want to work through you. It's not that I want you to go do something and I'm going to back off and see if you can do it. Man, I'll tell you what, you get the call of God to do something, you better do it. Because God has given Moses another chance here. And he's saying, now go in verse 12, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. He would have been the Miltelus. He would have been the one that would give the eloquent speech. He would have been the one that was speaking things that he never thought possible. I'll tell you, I can't tell you much how much you see and experience that every Sunday. You see that every Sunday. Because the more I get out of the way, the better you have a message. The more I don't try to put into what I think is best, you have a better message. And many of you know, I don't preach with notes. I don't have a script. I have a guideline with no timer. But I have a guideline, and it doesn't say at the bottom, watch clock. That's not on my clock. It's not on my timeline. But you know, when we do that, it's because why? Because I want God to speak. I want God to give me the word to speak. If I had to preach the same message twice, I would not say the same thing twice. Well, boy, you're not really studying very well, are you? You're not really putting it all together, are you? I'm doing letting God do it. I know the text. I study the text. I know about where I'm headed through the text. You see the PowerPoint. You see the outline. I got God, just help me fill it in. I could give you a 10-minute message or a 45-minute message on the same outline. It all depends on what God does. So if I'm over, it's not my fault. It's God's fault. I was sort of setting that up, you know. But as we look at what God is doing to Moses' life, that verse 12 cannot be any more clear. Now go. I will give you the mouth. I will give you the words. Anybody who says, boy, I'm afraid of what they may ask me, go to verse 12. Or I'm not sure I can do it, read the preceding verses. God has no room for excuses. There is none. Because no, ever let your excuse be bigger than your God. So does Moses listen? Verse 13, and he said, every time Moses says, oh my Lord, he just gets himself in more trouble. So be careful. Verse 13, oh my Lord, I send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who will send, basically, anyone but me. God, send anybody but me. And Moses said, no. Moses said, God, I can't do this. He did not believe that his God was bigger than his excuses. And listen, I think churches are full of those kind of people today. I really do. They're afraid to get out. They're afraid of what people might think. They're afraid of what people might say. They might make a mistake. Well, Lord forbid if we prove we're human, you know? I mean, we got to lighten up and just let God be God. We got to just do the work. Because if not, it's not going to get done. We mentioned before a couple weeks ago, there are Bible colleges shutting their doors because nobody's going into ministry. There are churches shutting their doors because they can't find pastors. And we're not all going to live forever. And so what we need to understand is that why something's missing in our churches and in our homes that nobody wants to go do the work of God. Something's missing. And listen, we can't just say, well, them kids making their own decisions. Well, that has something to do with it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a problem in America today. There is a lack of spiritual want. They want something, but boy, it ain't God. And so we need to understand, I think we, as a whole, today in America, we are stuck in verse 12 and 13. God is saying, go. I'll give you what you need. I'll let go. Lord, please send it anybody but me. I'm going to tell you, that's the downfall of our church today. That is the downfall of many, many churches today, because nothing's getting accomplished, because one or two, three or four, 10 people, they can't do it all. Everybody needs to jump in. Everybody needs to help. So Moses says that. Now we come to the interesting part. When God said, or verse 14, again, I wrote in my Bible, don't go there. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Have you ever made God mad? And yeah, just say yes, because, you know, we've got to be honest, be real. Yeah, we did. We have. We've made him mad because we said, God, I can't do that. I don't have time. I've served my time. I don't have ability. I don't kindle the anger of God. That's exactly what Moses did. When Moses kindled the anger, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. How does that work? God knew Aaron was on the way. Why? Because God knew Moses was going to say, God sent anybody but me before he ever did it. You got to, don't miss that in this. Talk about this smart as God. Talk about God knowing everything prior to. He was already sending Aaron because he knew Moses was going to turn him down. He was already setting up plan B. Angered him. God gives us so many chances, and we blow most of them. He always has a plan B. Aaron is coming. Levite, thy brother. And we all know what happened to them anyway, what he did. And he seeth thee, will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be the spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee, instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Verse 17 says, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherein thou shalt do signs or miracles. So God said, okay, you don't want to go. I'll send Aaron with you. Moses felt relieved, no doubt. Moses felt, okay, God, I'll go now because I've got my security blanket. I've got somebody with me that can speak for me. And God said, well, I'll speak to you, and you speak to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to them. Interesting enough, when the anger of God was, again, anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, we need to realize that it's not how God wants it, but it's how God will get it done. Because God's people were going to be free. Pharaoh was going to get the message. And Moses, I want you to be the one to give it, but since you don't think you can, then I'll send Aaron with you. God's plan still worked, right? Moses didn't change God's plan. Moses just lost the blessing that God would have gave him from it. Moses lost that with his own God. So when we don't go, it's, you know, God's going to get the things accomplished. God always does. His plan is never going to end. His plan is not going to be changed by you and I deciding something different. The problem is, you lose. You lose all the blessings. Can you imagine, just for a minute, and I know this jumps out of context, or at least out of the scriptures, possibly what Moses, bless you, what Moses would have thought when he was scared, goes to Pharaoh and, oh, I know I can't do this, and laid out the best speech that anybody's ever heard. What would that have done to his faith? What would that have done to boost the relationship with his God? And then put the staff down, make the blood red river, all those things. You see, what happens when we use the excuses to God, we lose the opportunity to build our faith with God because we know we can't do it. And then when we do it, oh, man, God, you're awesome. Man, you build your own faith. You don't want to do it. God will send somebody in, and you will not have that moment with God. You will not have that faith-building moment that you know God is doing an amazing thing. So we need to be careful with our excuses, because when we see, again, through several things through this, as we see through verse 14 and following, we see God's mindset. We know how God wants it done. Again, we read this, but he put it into real time into our lives. If God is calling us, he's not going to make a mistake. If God wants us to do something and we feel that we know in our heart that we should be doing it, he's not making a mistake. He's not asking you to do something he knows that with him, you're not going to be able to do. God would never set us up like that. And so when he calls, his mindset is, if I'm coming to you and I'm calling to you, just now go. Verse 12, just go. Just go, Moses. And he doesn't go. He has more excuses. Doesn't want to go. So God's mindset is pretty awesome in that. But we also see God's mercy, don't we? Because you know what God could have done in that moment? Moses could have died right there at that burning bush. God is, you know what, Moses? I'm done. He could do that to any of us, can't he? Remember, we wake up by God's grace. When you go to sleep at night, you wake up because God allowed you to wake up. But he didn't. His anger was kindled, but his mercy said, I'll send Aaron. I'll send Aaron with you. See, not only do we see God's mindset and how he wants it done, but we also see his mercy when we don't listen, when we don't follow. We have a mercy that God has. We also understand that God has a method. Because when he saw everything that was going on, he laid it out clearly that I will speak to you, you will speak to him. I will be your mouth, he will be his mouth, he will speak. And he then laid the plan out. See, God had a plan, first of all, didn't he? He already explained the plan to Moses in the first one, verses 1 through 8. He explained what he wanted and what he was going to do to prove to the people, Moses, they will know that I sent you when these things happen. Oh, no, I can't speak it. And he kept coming up with excuses. And listen, when Lamentations 3:22 says, it's by the mercy of God we are not consumed and it's fresh every morning. It's by God's mercy we're not just flicked to the shelf. It's by God's mercy he doesn't look on us and say, you know what, I'm tired of asking. You want to keep telling me no? Psh, see ya. God's mercy won't do that. I'm going to tell you, do you realize how much we miss out on in understanding and having that deep relationship with God when we come up with excuses, when we say no? We miss that deep relation with God. We miss that opportunity. Because, listen, I can't explain to you how it works every Sunday morning. I can't even write it down, what God does through me every Sunday morning. I wish I could. I wish I could write it down. I wish I could explain it. But all I know is when I go up the house, and I'll sit there, and I'll ponder some of the things, and I'm like, wow, I don't know where I got that. I don't know where that came from. I didn't study that. I didn't even let that verse fit. I'm telling you, God's good. God is awesome. No excuses is the only way you'll find that out. No excuses. And so Moses doesn't go. Aaron goes with him. Go up to the story. We know all Moses returns. Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. We know the 10 plagues. We know all the things that happened. And when Moses was on the mountain, meeting with God, getting the tablets, the 10 commandments, he comes back off the mountain. And who led the people to worship the idol? Aaron. The thing that Moses said, I need to have, he's my security blanket, became his nightmare, became his thorn in the flesh. Be careful what you hang on to when you use excuses. Because God just may do something through them to get you. Be careful of your excuses. There's no excuse. There's none. There's not one excuse we can give God. God does not work with excuses. God works with those who are willing to go. Our baby steps become our big steps. So what are the little things God's asking us to do? What are the little things God wants you to do? What are the things that you felt in your heart and mind he's pestered you to do or to accomplish, to talk to people, whatever it is? What is it? The baby steps, the little steps. Oh, okay, God, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. And God's, listen, when you say I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, I know all heaven rejoices. I know they do. All heaven is saying, yay, we finally got one we can use. When we step out of our comfort zone, because then we know it's all of God, it's not of us. And in fact, we were talking back here this morning, and someone said, I'm always nervous. I'm always uncomfortable. And I says, no, wait a minute, there's a difference. There's a nervous, uncomfortable, I'll get it done. And there's a nervous, uncomfortable, ain't going to happen. Stay with the nervous, uncomfortable, get it done with God. Don't ever tell God it's not going to happen. Because, listen, you can come up with every excuse. You can tell God no all the ways you want to. But what God wants and what God's calling for you to do, it will get done. You'll just miss out on everything. You'll just miss out on what God has for you. And I'm going to tell you, I think that's one of the saddest things in a Christian's life. When we miss out on the God moments in our life, when we miss out on those moments when only we know how great our God is in that moment because something happened that I had no idea. I didn't know I could do that. I'm telling you, test them. I don't know if we're lying. I don't know if that's biblical. I'm going to say it anyway. Test God in this. If God is urging you, God is calling you, all right, God, you know what you're getting. You know, you're calling, you know what you're getting. You watch what God does. It'll be pretty amazing. It'll be very amazing. Never to give up. The only verse I know is when we're tired and we're weary and we've done so much already and we feel like, man, we've done our turn and we got so many things going on in life. The only verse I know is take my yoke upon you if you are heavy laden and need rest. Doesn't say stop. Doesn't say don't do no more. It just says stop doing on your own. Put on my yoke. Walk with me a while. I'll help you out. I'll carry you through it. The only time, well, I always say rest is for heaven, so the only time we get a break is when we're no longer on earth to do the work of God. Because in heaven, we don't have to do God's work. He's pretty good at doing it on his own up there. So that's my challenge to me tonight. Hopefully that's challenging you. And I'll just give you a real quick testimony, and anybody can share something if they'd like. But not too long ago, I had the opportunity to go into the chaplaincy and just toiling with it. And I had to get my master's finished, and I had to do another double master. So I had a double master's I had to accomplish. And the four-year, four-program, online, whole nine yards. And I had to pay for all of it, and I had to do the study and all of it. And I wasn't going to do it. But my lovely wife kept encouraging me. Just do it. God wants you to do it. Just do it. Keep doing it. And when I'd be tired, you know, do it. Just come on, you can do it. Do it. Do it. And when I got hired at that hospital during the pandemic, and no one was allowed in to minister to these people, I then realized if I would have gave him an excuse like I was giving my wife, I would have missed on leading tons of people to the Lord. I'd have missed it. So I try not to give God excuses anymore. God, what are you asking? What do you want? What do you need? And so, yeah, doing a lot of work. Kim listed it out for me. Two full-time jobs, preaching three times a week, counseling right now, two different people, two different nights of the week, doing a grief share. Yeah, we're busy. We're over busy. But no excuses. No excuses. Because God does some amazing things when we stop and just let him. So that's my challenge. And it's not that I'm a hero. It's not that I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just somebody who said, no more excuses. And I pray all of us are those people who will say, no more excuses. God, what do you need? God, what do you want? That's an open opportunity, isn't it? There's a lot of things God could put you in out there. But I'm telling you, it's fun. It's fun. We're tired. We have fun. But it's great. So that's my little testimony. Anybody got anything you want to add to that or say to that, Jim? There have been some that, as you study through, some believe that he definitely would have been taught the languages. He definitely would have known the language well. Some say that he was either through fear he couldn't speak, but yeah, they said he would have been taught well. Yeah. Yeah, so you don't know. I mean, Scripture doesn't say it, but there's a good opportunity for it to be, so we don't know. It's just like David, and just like what fuels our excuses? Fear. Fear. You know, we can't do that. Same thing with Moses. I don't have the ability. I have lack of assurance. So we have it. Anybody else have anything to add to that? Or Kim? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one line really, just all my life, he's been faithful, he's been good. But that, think about that tonight, just all your life, no matter what you've been through, God's good. God's good. Any other comments or questions on any of that? was eloquent. He was taught well. So what happened? 40 years in the desert could do a lot of things to you. I don't know. But he had a lot of time alone out there. But yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what fuels the excuse. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. God does not want excuses. Not when he's calling us. Not when he asks us to do things. So we need to keep our hearts tuned. Keep our hearts in tune with God's voice and just see what he has. I mean, it's simply amazing, you know, when you see all that God is capable of doing. And he never once asked Moses about his abilities or gifts or anything else. He said, I just need you. I don't need what you can do. I'll do it. And he does that with all of us. He just wants us. He'll do the rest. We're a vessel. We're a vessel. We're not the power. We're not the results. We're just a vessel. So I think many times even in my life, we just got to get back to that. We got to get back to that and understand that. And never stop. Never stop. Anything else I want to say? Absolutely. Continue, it's great.
Amen. Amen. That's the song.
Funny, when I got this from her, I
And that speaks the whole concept of, and to that God, we give excuses. How good he is all our life. To sing the song, all our life he has been faithful. All our life he's been so, so good. And so it's challenging me, you know. As you can tell, I'm challenging all of you, and I'll challenge everybody Sunday morning. We just got to stop giving excuses, and we need to pick up the pace and get some things accomplished, because he's worth it. He's worth it. I appreciate you sharing that. I do. We all have a journey. We all have a journey to walk. And boy, if we could just, I think that's what it means. God says, remember, you know, go back and remember what I've done. And that's a great way to do it. Just write down. I don't know if my mind can go back to 20. Boy, a 20-year-old. I don't even want to write down what I was doing when I was 20. I wasn't good at that age. But, man, he's been good. He's been good. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the openness, the honesty. And, Lord, we do give you too many reasons why we can't instead of all the reasons why we can. And God, the greatest reason is simply because you are the one who is going to call us. You are the one who is going to empower us. There is no work. There is no calling that you're going to give that with you we can't accomplish. Father, we need to exercise our faith in that more and more. We need to maybe look at less at what we are doing and see what we're not doing. Father, we need to love you more. A God that has cared for us in all the many things of our lives and carried us through the many things, and yet we give excuses. And Father, I pray that you just really speak to each of us tonight. Allow us to understand the importance of just when you are asking or you are calling or when we see a need or you have a need placed in front of us. God, may we ask, God, is this something you would want me to be a part of? Is this something you want me to do? God, we just thank you how your long patience and suffering, even as we saw to Moses, was kindled your anger, but you still had mercy. You still allowed him that company, and you still allowed him to accomplish the task. And God, we just pray that you will continue to allow us to sense that mercy and the long-suffering. And yet, Father, may we not test it. May we just simply go when you say go. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.